Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Family is a fireplace of revival. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We can, if you guys need continual prayer, that's cool. Can you feel free to use the office, my office down there as well. But I just need to get on with the word. Amen. And so, revival is needed in our city, in our region, in our nation, in the world. It needs to be brought back to a state in which God had originally designed. We become spiritually dead. And we go through the motions, so to speak, when we just let things fall to, I guess, systems and rhythms. And we see relics of a great move of God to this day, great churches that once housed a strong presence of the Lord. But all it is now is just churches with empty pews and statues of dead people. But God is wanting to breathe his fire into his church. Christmas Evans, that's the name of the guy, his first name is Christmas, is a one-eyed Baptist preacher and a Welsh revivalist. Kind of sounds like a pirate. Is a one-eyed Baptist preacher. He said, revival is God breathing down to the dying embers of a fire which is just about to go out and breathing into it until it bursts into flames. That God wants to bring revival into your heart, into your homes, and into your families. If God is the fire, we as a family are the fireplace, is the fireplace. And by the way, congratulations to Matt and Danny, just saw you. They got married Monday last week. Yep. And I pray your natural family, your physical blood family, are on fire for Jesus. And if they're not, that they will be in Jesus' name. And where your natural family isn't perhaps a fireplace for the spark and the fire of God to come upon them, then we have our kingdom family, our spiritual family, that God has designed family for you and me, that we're not called to do this Christian walk by ourselves. There is no such thing as a Rambo Christian, friends. You can't do this on your own. You need others around you. Jesus said to the early disciples, the 120, go to the city and wait. Wait for the gift of God, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power, and you shall be my witnesses. And we see as they waited, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, in unity, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled, ever say filled, with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, and as the Spirit gave them utterance. You can see that this man in the video is sparking this flame, this knife, and this flint onto positioned, what we just call it, kindling and things like that. And if you're positioned enough, in unity, in one accord, other translations say, as they were in one accord and in prayer, the Holy Spirit came upon. We have a revival fire night prayer meeting Friday the 22nd of March, which is basically this coming Friday. It's been a while since we've done an overnight prayer meeting. The last time that we did, it was leading up to our last conference at the Frankston Arts Centre, Ignite Frankston, 4 or 5 weeks leading up to that event, every Friday night, 4 to 5 weeks, from 9 p.m. till, I think, initially 4 a.m., then to 7. And we just saw the power of God move in that conference we held. And I feel it's time again that we hunger and seek after the Lord and see what He will do in our city yet again. Amen. To hunger and thirst after righteousness. We see great moves of God in revival history. It wasn't just an accidental event. It wasn't just a planned conference. Let's gather. Let's see what would happen. It was backed by many years of prayer, sacrificial prayer. And you're wondering, how are you going to pray for 7 hours, 8 hours, or overnight? Well, we had a great framework this morning. If you missed it, I encourage you to jump on and watch the service from this morning. But we're going to go after the things of God. We're going to go after the heart of God, what He wants for this city. We're going to ask Him, how do you actually feel about what we do? Where's your heart at in all that we do, in our personal life and in our corporate life? We're going to approach the throne room of grace with boldness, like the Bible says. And then we'll see what God will do. Amen? I promise you, it's fun. It sounds like a long time, but it's actually refreshing. I remember the first time we did it, and I came home, had about maybe a 2 or 3 hour nap, and I was alive for the rest of that Saturday. I was just on fire. And, you know, we had Pastor Dominic here, Magaga from Uganda, 2 Sunday nights ago. A powerful time. And we got chatting just before he flew back to Uganda. And he said, you know, back when he was younger, they used to go up to this prayer mountain in Uganda. Our word for the year is to ascend. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, those with clean hands and pure heart. And he said he would pray. And his mentor, he said, I wouldn't do this now, but this is just the old school method. If you decide to sit down or nod off, guess what will come pretty swiftly on the back of your head? Smack! Get up and pray. I promise you, I won't smack you if you sit down or if you nod off. In fact, I invite you, bring a pillow, bring a blanket. If you need a quick little power nap, go for it. We're just going to seek the Lord's face and pray. Amen. Who's hungry for a move of God? You see, it's not so much revival that we're consumed by. We're consumed by the reviver, Jesus Himself. Like the two men, when they were on the road to Emmaus, and they realized after a certain amount of time, when Jesus had been, the Bible says that he was snatched away. He was taken away from their presence. And they said, He is the Lord. Did not our hearts burn within us when He talked to us and opened scriptures to us? That I pray as we seek the reviver, Jesus Himself, and hunger and thirst after Him, that the impact that we have around our family, our friends, and the world around us is that their hearts will be set aflame when we speak to them and when we show them who God is in scriptures. Amen? Revival versus renewal. What is revival? What is renewal? I think I've explained a little bit of already what revival is, to bring back to life, right? The Latin word, revival, la viva, to do it again, viva life. La viva, do it again, to live again. And then renewal. Renewal touches the church. It changes what the church views as the right practices. And revival flows from the same river, but it overflows its banks into the society around them, into realizing we need to take this message out of our comfy little church and bring it to a world that's dying. We need to bring the power of God that we experience in the church out onto the streets, into the workplaces, into people's homes and classrooms and so forth as well. That is revival. And so when we approach the kingdom of God, there is this concept called Chronos time versus Kairos time. Chronos time is just your ongoing time, kind of like this fake little clock. It's ticking away, right? As we speak now, it is 6:27. That is the Chronos time on the 17th of March. The Kairos time, which is a little bit different, but it is the God-appointed time. The Greeks coined this term when describing an archer is looking for the perfect moment to shoot his shot at his target. The Kairos time of God. As Esther said, I was born for such a time as this. that the sons of Issachar knew the times and they knew what to do. And Jesus said to the hypocrites, he says, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern the time, the kairos time, the time that we're in, the God-appointed time, the God-appointed time in your life, not just the Kronos time, it's Sunday today, I'm back at work tomorrow, Monday. No, what is the kairos moment in your walk with God as you seek the Lord's face, as you seek the reviver to revive your heart aflame? I've been a little bit up and down in my witnessing to the Lord. I promised Him I'll do it daily, and I'm getting back there. It's different for everyone. But for me, one of the ways I sustain the fire and the flame is I would at least tell one person about Jesus. And I was going through this study, and by the way, some of the things I'm getting is from this amazing book, Sustain the Flame, Jen Miskov, great crew. We have a revival gathering once a week for the next 6 weeks on Zoom. And it's so amazing to see these Americans and their accents and Louisiana, Popeye's chicken and revival, friends. But you need that family of believers, right? Because family is the fireplace of revival. And so I'm distracted about Popeye's chicken, all those great memories in New York City, Jess, on our honeymoon. Where was I? What was I talking about? God knows. Hey? Kairos moment. One of the activations, one of the homework. See, I'm teaching a supernatural academy, but I'm also in another academy myself, Sustain the Flame. One of the activations there is ask God for that kairos moment. Not just your tick the day, Kronos time, but ask God for that, for a kairos moment. And this past Friday, our daughter Mia got invited to a swim carnival between other Christian schools at Melbourne Sports and Aquatic Centre, MSAC, in Albert Park, the city. And as I do, drop off the kids, Jess is already there with Mia, I thought, you know what, let's see if these croissants really are the best croissants in Melbourne, so they say. Agatha's Pastry, South Melbourne Markets. I tried to hit him up on my day off one day, Monday, but to my dismay, found out they were closed, so I had to drive back. But here I am, my kairos moment. Friday, Melbourne Market Day, South Melbourne Market Day, and it's a swim carnival day. But the funny thing is, in my prayer time that same morning, only 2 mornings ago, I was praying, I was reading the Word. Then for some random reason, I remember Jess telling me at the end of last year, Stephanie Rice, who remembers Stephanie Rice? 3-time Olympic gold medalist who swam in the 2018 Beijing Olympics. Jess told me at the end of last year, she gave her heart to Jesus and now she is born again without shame. And so I jump on Instagram to verify the story, fact check my wife, because often she is right. Just getting some brownie points. And I see, wow, she is on fire. She moved to Dubai, going to Kingdom City Church, Pastor Mark Verghese's church. He's a great pastor. And just sharing about her faith publicly. Here comes the love, the praise, and here comes the criticism. But she doesn't care. She's found the peace that she's been longing for. This famous celebrity swimmer, gone on many reality TV shows, recently on SAS. And that really broke her. But now she has found her peace. She has found her healing in Jesus. And she is over the moon and she wants to let the world know. On Swimming Carnival Day, I realized in one of her videos, it's the same video that I showed Mia the night before on how to dive. Because you need to dive at these swim carnivals. I didn't realize, oh, that's Steph Rice in a goggles and a swim cap. How funny is that? Anyways, I rock up to my kairos appointed croissant time, South Melbourne Market, and I see, she probably won't watch this anyway, we're not that big, Nicole Livingstone. Who remembers Nicole Livingstone, right, from the 90s? Another legendary Olympic medalist swimmer. And I thought, I walk past and go, I wonder if that's Nicole. I don't know what to say. I'm a bit rusty. I'm maybe about one week rusty. It's awkward. I don't know what to say. And I line up for my pastry. I look at the selection, and the chocolate croissant was beckoning. I said, "Lord, if I bump into Nicole again, I promise I'll tell her about you." And so I get my croissant, and I'm walking back. And lo and behold, Nicole is sitting down at a cafe outside. And I go, "Excuse me, is your name Nicole?" She says, "Yes." I say, "I just want to let you know Jesus loves you so much. And your friend Steph Rice," she goes, "Yes, I know Steph. She has found something very special in God. And God wants you to discover him as well. He loves you so much. He would stop this random pastor to tell you this. God bless you. He loves you." And that was it. That's all I needed to do. A Kairos moment. Swim carnival day. Olympic swimmer. Like, my goodness, what are the chances? Isn't God good? He uses our desires. He's like, "Check this out, angel. This donkey wants a croissant." He doesn't call me a donkey. You know what I mean? But let's make something out of it. Let's get Jesus into somebody today, a seed sown today, a Kairos moment. I said to Nicole, I only saw her testimony this morning. I think this is kind of weird. It's not an accident that I'm talking to you now about Jesus and Steph Rice, who found Jesus. I only saw that this morning. What is your Kairos moment? What is that Kairos time in your everyday that you can ask God for? "Lord, I was born for such a time as this. The sons of Issachar knew the times and they knew what to do." Sometimes it is the small, still voice that prompts our heart, that prompts our spirit to say, "Go that way, speak to that person." Amen? All right. "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together." Everyone say, "Being built together." "For a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." You are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And yes, 1 Corinthians says that we are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit resides within us. But God is wanting to do something more and bigger than just you as an individual house that's hosting the presence of God. He wants to build you collectively together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You know, the church is not a building. The church in the Greek is ecclesia, the called out ones, those who have heard the call of God. It is when we gather that we are a church. Outside of this, this is just an auditorium. It's just empty seats on a Monday. But when we're together, we are the church. And as a family, God can only do certain things within a family of a family, right? A church within a church. And I'm talking about who is your spiritual family. And that's why we advocate for house fires and home groups to bring this big thing that God is doing together collectively, but to boil it down to who is your spiritual family in this season. Who will know you, who will love you, who will care after you, care for you, look after you, be someone you can be accountable to give you opportunities, to encourage you and spur you on. Who is your spiritual family? Jess, my wife, is an amazing worship leader. And I remember she got her chance at a home group in our previous pastor's church. And in that home group, she's never led worship. She's never led worship in the church, but thank God for this pastor who saw this gift in Jess. He said, "Would you lead worship one night? Would you lead us?" And so here's Jess. I wasn't there for that night, but I imagined like angels just came down and the heavens parted. Like, see, that's how you do it, guys. More brownie points. But a family within a family, a church within a church. Who is your spiritual family? Do you know them? Are you known by them? Are they challenging you? Are they stretching you? I love, in different seasons of my life, I had my boys before we started going out, right? Even before we were boyfriend and girlfriend. I had my boys. We'd hang out till 4 o'clock in the morning at Cafe Greco, South Yarra. Cafe Greco's not there anymore. After church, on a Sunday night, sometimes we had the Monday off because we were students. And so we would be out all night, or the Friday night, just talking about the things of God, praying for each other. Who is your spiritual family that's going to grow you and stretch you? Your kingdom family. And we see there's an example here. Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf is actually a royalty from Germany in the 1700s. Met a man, I forgot his name, but he was a refugee from the region of Moravia, which is now modern-day Czech Republic. And he was a refugee for religious persecution. And so he thought on his plot of land, he would invite this man and his family to live. And when he realized, well, here I am with all my wealth and all my riches, but I feel as a man of God, Count Nicholas, he says, I want to reach out to the poor, to the broken, to those who need a helping hand. And so he has this guy, I think his name is Christopher, I forgot his surname. And then they see this amazing community starting to form. He invites more Moravian refugees to come in. But as you do with a small area and you're living together, what do you think can sometimes happen? Strife, fighting, infighting. And these are Moravians who believe in Jesus, right? But they were just in each other's hairs and they couldn't really stand one another. Until Nicholas decided, in reading scripture, the value of unity, especially among the family of believers, and they put in these, these set of values and these guidelines on how to live as a Christian community. And in a short amount of time, these Moravians started to love on each other. And they prayed, they decided, you know what, we're going to go after God. They are responsible for the modern prayer movement of today. Because what they decided to do was pray and seek the Lord's face 24 hours, 7 days a week, and it lasted for a whole year. And so you wonder, how can I pray all day long? I was encouraged when I heard their story that they would even pray while they worked. I go, oh, that's good. Because sometimes I feel like I'm just so busy. Can I really be in this mode of praying while I'm doing things? And I heard these guys, the Moravians, did. As they went about their business, they prayed. And then the next shift. And overnight, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, people would be praying. So much so, it sparked a great move of God. When Count Nicholas went to the coronation of the King of Denmark, he met a slave there, a slave servant from Africa, based in St. Thomas Island of the West Indies. And he said, the gospel needs to come to St. Thomas Island, where there is tons of slaves and there is no hope at all. The only issue with that is you couldn't go there as a missionary. You have to go there as a slave. So he comes back quite saddened by their circumstances. And he goes back to his plot of land. And he sees 2 o'clock in the morning, this house with light on, with a candle on. And here are these Moravian refugees praying. And he says, this is the need. For over a year, they prayed about it. And then two young men decided to do this. They felt in their heart, let me do them justice. Johann Leonard Dober and David Nitschmann felt so compelled after praying for 1 year that they need to actually sell themselves into slavery. They couldn't come in as these big missionaries from a Western country and say, do it this way, do it this way, we're better than you. They lowered themselves and sold themselves into slavery. And they saw many souls won for Jesus. But do you know what they said? As they were boarding the ship bound for the West Indies, and as the ship pulled away from the docks, it is said they called out to their loved ones. Is anyone speak German here, by the way? Any fluent German-speaking people? All right, here we go. He says this, Moge das geschlachtem Lamm den Lohn seines Leidens empfangen. That's how Google says to say it. In other words, this is what they said, the translation. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. These two men who were willing to throw away their lives so that others might find Jesus said this to their loved ones as the ship was sailing. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. God is calling people today who are willing to lay down their lives for the sake of the gospel. There's going to be missionaries today that you don't even know it yet, but God is calling you into the mission field or back into the mission field. These Moravians, this small group of people, will go into nations like this, into Asia, into Africa, into North America. And every time that one or two or a couple were martyred, or if they died and passed away, they would send more. They would, in fact, send double. They wanted to see the kingdom of God come to earth. And so they took this mantra on. May the lamb who was slain receive his reward for his suffering. On the way to North America, a well-known revivalist, John Wesley, who started the Methodist movement, he was part of the first Great Awakening. He wasn't well-known on this ship with a bunch of Moravians. And as wild storms hit the ship, rather than being riddled with fear, these Moravians, who just had it so deep within their spirit and the fire of God burning so brightly, they decided to worship in the storm. Unbeknownst to them, this man from England, who even questioned his own salvation, saw this witness in their spirit and said, I must have what they have. I must get what they have. John Wesley, who was inspired by these Moravians, who prayed 24 hours, 7 days a week for a whole year, on fire for God, birthed our modern missionary movement, birthed prayer houses like International House of Prayer, IHOP. I wonder what God will do as we seek him as a collective family to say, God, we are your family. We are the fireplace for the revival that you want to bring. And we're saying, yes, God, whatever you want, it's yours. So I'm not going to preach anymore. I just feel to open up the floor right now. If you have a heart for missions, if you have a heart to go into perhaps unreached people groups, you've never gone, but you feel there's a stirring within your heart. And I'm going to mix it up a little bit because God wants to capture a few people here. If you have a heart to intercede like never before, to pray like never before, God said, if you're going to preach on prayer, you better pray more. And I'm glad I did. And I'm glad he woke me up 4 o'clock every morning for the last couple of days and I couldn't get back to sleep. If you have a burning desire for that Kairos moment to be evident in your life, and you're not just going through the motions of your day, and you're not just walking through your Kronos day, but God is saying, will you be awake to what he wants to do? If that's you, can I invite you up right now? And we're just going to pray. If we can have who was in the keys? Dorcas, it'll be amazing. Father, we thank you for the hungry ones. We thank you, Lord, that as the Moravians worship you in the storm, Lord, that we will worship you in our storms, Lord, that we will catalyze the next revivalists. We will catalyze the next reformers. We will catalyze the next great awakening through people who are watching. The Lord is saying, you never know who is watching. What will you choose in your storm? Will you cave in fear or will you worship him? Because people, whether you know it or not, are watching. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the hungry ones right now who are saying, yes, God, I'm going to lay down my life for your kingdom, for your glory, for your purposes, God. I only get to live this life once and I want to live it well with you and for you. Right now, Lord, do a deep work in your people's hearts. God, we cry. Let's just start to cry out right now in your own special way to the Lord. Perhaps you need boldness like the Moravians, radical obedience like the Moravians. Father, I thank you that you use a small group of people to stir the hearts of many, even extending to this day and to this hour. The sacrifice of the Moravians to say, yes, God, whatever the cost, may the Lamb who was slain receive his reward. And we realize, God, life begins when we let it go. Life begins when we lose it. He who tries to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. We thank you, Lord, for revival fire right now coming upon every single person here. Thank you, Jesus, that they shall find life and life more abundant in Jesus' mighty name, that they shall flow in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the hungry ones, Jesus. You see their cry, you see their hunger. Thank you, Lord. More, God, more, more, more. More, Lord, more, more. Thank you, Jesus. And as this altar is open, if there's anyone in the room and you don't know the love of God, you've never got right with Jesus. There's many in this place that have walked through, not the same, but probably something similar. That you're lost, that you're wondering what will happen when I die. You're feeling a little bit anxious about tomorrow. There's someone the Lord has shown me that cries in the night and asks, God, if you're real, would you show yourself? He's saying, I am real and I love you. If you need to get right with God, there's only one way, the Bible says. There's no name under heaven given to man by which you can be saved. It is only the name of Jesus who died on the cross for you and me. So if you need to get right with God without anyone looking right now, no one looking right now, every eye is closed, your head bowed right now. Can I just ask you to quickly just slip out your hand and let us know? Yeah. Was that a hand? I wasn't sure. I'll be honest. I wasn't sure. Might have been an itchy head. I don't know. Was there anyone that needs to get right with God? Please let us know. Show us your hand if that's you. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray this prayer together. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. I ask for your forgiveness. Wash me clean by the blood of the Lamb. Make me brand new. Help me to live for you. I repent of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.